This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. As teenagers try to navigate the challenges that arise with coming of age, some struggle more than others.
Sometimes the pressure to do it all, to get good grades, stay involved in sports and extracurricular activities, and get into the best colleges and universities can be too much. Some teens have turned to suicide.
As a result, mental health advocates in the Milwaukee area are banding together to address the issue head-on. Hoping to bypass the stigma of mental illness, one group is turning to the arts as a vehicle for talking openly about it.
Brenda Wesley is the Director of Education and Outreach for National Alliance on Mental Illness of Greater Milwaukee. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
How prevalent is the issue of teen suicide today in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin in general?
Well, the rate of teen suicide is escalating. The reasons why is a lot of pressure, just when you did the opening of the show. A lot of pressure on teens. Our kids are living with depression, anxiety issues, which can be biological effects, but the numbers are increasing. And that's not only with teen suicide, but that's adult suicides as well.
Why do you think that the numbers of suicides are increasing? Why now?
I think because the stresses of life, because a lot of times with mental health disorders is that stresses can actually bring about a mental illness if you have a predisposition to it. And even with depression, sometimes we don't want to say that clinical and major depression and anxiety is a mental health disorder because of the stigma associated with it. So we don't have that conversation to say that maybe the biology of the brain has changed as far as coping mechanisms. We're not talking to kids and even adults about how to cope with things that happen in their life. And then if you're dealing with the other issues as far as depression and anxiety and any other mental health disorder like OCD, probably bipolar disorder, and mental health disorders like that, that can just kind of escalate you into the realm of just kind of feeling hopeless and not being able to talk to someone and actually being judged as well. And stigma is one of the number one reasons that people and kids do not seek services.
Well, let's talk about that stigma for a moment. You are, let's say, a young adult. You're in pain. Who do you go to typically when something like that is happening in your life?
You keep it to yourself, because if I reach out to you, stigma in various communities, it looks the same, but in various communities, it can be different. And then if I look to you to tell you that I'm depressed, a lot of times people say, well, why are you depressed? Maybe you live in an affluent family, things are going well, you have no reason to be depressed. Or if things are not going so well, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstrap, you'll be okay. And sometimes you're not okay. All I need for you to do is to listen to me and not judge me for telling you that I am not okay. I need somebody to walk with me to understand. Because usually with depression and suicidal ideation, it kind of goes hand in hand. And to tell someone to stop being depressed is like telling them to walk through a brick wall. Well, it's impossible. We don't tell people to stop having cancer, to go and treat yourself, and the cancer will go away. But when it comes to mental health issues and the idea of suicide and not being able to talk to people, sometimes you feel like you don't have any other place to go.
A lot of times the stereotype, I guess, of teenagers in the media is that they're moody and they're erratic. Their moods swing back and forth, and they could be happy one moment and depressed the next. And that's just the way it is to be a teenager. That's part of the reality of those hormonal mood swings and the developing brain. How much does that play into this, that people just think that, you know, this is how teenagers are?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They think that, okay, they're just going through this spurt of being rebellious. But when you look at it and that's why we have to start having the conversation in our communities about mental health. Because if your child, if it's affecting their ability to live, to love, to go to school, to have social activities, and it's going on for more than 2 weeks, then what is wrong to say, we need to go and talk to someone? Because if your child, and I usually talk about this when I'm out in the community doing presentations, if your child came to you and said that I have a stomach ache or a headache, and probably after a couple of days you ask if you're doing okay, but if it lasts more than a couple of days, a week or 2 weeks, what do? we take, or ourselves, we go to the hospital, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to mental health issues, it's, and we know that it's impacting that person, we still don't say, well, let's go and have this checked out, because it's just not normal teenage behavior. Because, of course, and you're absolutely right, teens do, you know, they can act giddy, they can get depressed, and they have a lot of stresses, and sometimes behavior is impacted, and it's just growing up. But when it gets to a point where it really affects the family and what's happening to your child, and if they start to isolate in their room, or if they show a shift in their personality that's quite obvious, then we need to say, we need to go and talk to somebody to find out what's going on.
We're talking right now with Brenda Wesley, Director of Education and Outreach for NAMI of Greater Milwaukee, about teen suicide prevention and reducing the stigma of mental illness.
And we want to hear from you. Have you been affected by teen suicide? As a parent, have you had teens going through depression, anxiety? How did you cope? Did you find help out there? Are you yourself a young person struggling, not sure where to get help? Or do you see this among your peers, among other students? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email, talk@WPR.org.
After the news, we'll talk with a youth minister who, along with others in Milwaukee, banded together to develop a community response to the rising tide of teen suicides. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. First, we continue our conversation about mental illness, teen suicide, and the struggles faced by those grappling with those issues, and we want to hear from you. Have you or a loved one been affected by mental illness? Has the issue of teen suicide touched your life in some way? Is there a way to reduce the stigma that can surround these issues? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Brenda Wesley of NAMI of Greater Milwaukee stays with us, and now to explain how community groups can come together to address these issues is Margaret Rohde. She's the Young Adult Minister of Holy Family and St. Robert Parishes in the North Shore area of Milwaukee. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you're a member of a group called RED2. What is it, and how did it get off the ground?
Yes. RED2 is a community organization that came together in the North Shore of Milwaukee area after a number of suicides by teens and parents and recent graduates over the course of this last summer. RED, the group, is determined to make a difference by resiliency building, educating the community, and decreasing stigma around mental illness. And we've been, the amazing thing has been what began as a small group of people coming together hoping to not just grieve and heal and get through these tragic, horrible deaths in our community, but to come together and decide that we as a community were going to work together to help the entire community, all the teens, all the youth, all the adults, try to grow in resilience and strength and to know how to help others who are struggling, how to identify and get them the help that they need.
It's a difficult thing to deal with on lots of different levels. Where do you start? What are some of the actions that RED2 is taking to reach out?
Right. Well, we started by getting everybody at the table, and it was beautiful. People came forward who had lost their children, who had lost siblings or friends, and came and shared our grief and supported each other and then said, what do we have at this table that we can bring to the community to help the community grow stronger? And Cheryl Baldwin from UW-Milwaukee in our area, who's with the Youth Work Center at UW-Milwaukee, helped us to identify that we really had four subgroups at the table. We had a number of faith communities from all over, you know, Jewish, Christian, Catholic, different traditions who saw that we have a role in helping people to heal, but also helping people to identify that they have a need and to connect them with resources. We had a group of mental health professionals who were already active in the community, just wanting people to be able to access them. We had a group of concerned parents in the community who were aware that the stigma was a an obstacle that we had to work together to tear down. And we had schools and people, staff and involved families in schools and students at schools who said, it's not just about the academics anymore. What can we do to help teens grow as whole persons, stronger, mentally healthier, but also to identify those who need the extra help? So we divided into those four subgroups and we evaluated the resources that we had, and we started brainstorming ways that we can work together. And it's been so beautiful to see the way the community really has pulled together and begun tapping each other. So, for example, we talked earlier about Brenda's pieces production. The interfaith community felt very strongly, the interfaith subgroup, that our community needed that as a way to open conversation and bring more awareness. So 10 congregations and Young Life, which is a parachurch, awesome organization, came together to sponsor pieces. In addition to that, we've got our parent and community group running book clubs, just looking at books, which it's a lot less pressure to just come to a book club and discuss. Discuss the blessings of a B minus, the blessings of imperfection.
I'm just going to jump in right now because we've got lots of people waiting to talk to you folks.
Absolutely.
And that's important too. So let's go now to Luke, who's joining us from Cross Plains. Hi, Luke.
Hello. I was just calling today. Normally, I probably wouldn't, you know, call in or talk any talk about this at all, but I felt that it was important that for anybody who is listening right now who deals with depression and suicidal ideations, you know, I've had two friends who have committed suicide, and I have also dealt with that issue myself. And I know, personally speaking, that when kind of going through the process of trying to get in a better mindset, it's important that the therapist that you're talking to, or, you know, whomever you may be speaking to about it, for that person, it's important that they feel like they're being understood, like their position is understood. Because if it's not, then, you know, it kind of the mindset is that, you know, well, they have no idea where I'm coming from, so why should I be listening to what they have to say?
So making sure, Luke, that there is a good fit and a good connection going on between the therapist and the person who's struggling.
Yeah, and it's mostly for the people who may be struggling themselves, it's kind of like prescription medicine, you know, antidepressants, SSRIs, that one may not fit, you know, your specific biology, but, you know, another might. And it's kind of, you know, you got to kind of jump back into it. If, you know, even you had a bad experience once, it doesn't mean the next person's going to be, you know, not a great fit for you.
All right. Well, Luke, I'm so glad you called, and I'm sorry for the loss that you had to go through. Brenda, what do you think when you hear Luke's story?
Absolutely. I am not a clinician, but being an educator is that to be understood, and I think I talked a little bit about that as far as the stigma, to understand, not sympathize, but empathize with someone is that I will walk with you. I will stand by you. I understand. Again, if you tell someone just to stop being depressed is like asking someone to walk through a wall. It's impossible. So to...
And Brenda, are you still with us? I think we may have lost her. And I'll see now if...
I'm here.
Okay. Wait, is this Margaret or Brenda?
This is Margaret.
Margaret, why don't we let you pick up on that? You heard the thread of where Brenda... What do you think about Luke's comment?
Luke, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I so share your frustration. So often I have teens come to me who someone finally helps them get up the courage to go seek professional help, and they don't have a good click with the first therapist that they go to, and then they give up on therapy. And we just strongly encourage everyone to know that, you know, there are two predictors of success in therapy. The first is individual client variables for sure, but the second is that fit, that rapport between you and your therapist. And a very good therapist might not be the best therapist for you. There may be another one out there, and we just encourage you to continue trying until you find someone that you do fit and click with, because therapy can help. And the same way you're trying to find a correct balance of medications, you're trying to find someone who understands you and can work with you and help you take the steps that you need to heal. So we hear you, and we encourage everyone. Red, our organization, puts out a list of all the different mental health treatment in our area that people have found helpful. And we also say, if the first one doesn't work, try again, because find someone who works for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Luke, for that call. We appreciate that very much. And we'll move now to Morgan in Milwaukee. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, what do you think about this issue?
Well, I'm now in my 40s, and I did, when I was 20, try to kill myself, you know, based on a situation, you know, that I had faced. And so glad that obviously that didn't work for me. But I wanted to point out that as a woman, the depression that I experience now has gotten worse as I've gotten older, and it is so inherently tied to my monthly menstrual cycle that it's perhaps 100 times worse when I have PMS with, you know, my depression than it is any other time of the month. It's like I'm a completely different person. And my medical doctor prescribed birth control to try to level those hormones out so that I didn't experience these extreme lows.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern did fall in with, like, insurance matters. If insurance wasn't going to cover birth control, because it's not just for birth control, it does help, you know, women with mental health matters because of the cycles and the hormones.
Okay, well, thank you much for that call, Morgan. And Brenda, how do hormones and the changing hormones of teenagers in particular contribute to problems of depression and mental illness?
Well, I think it definitely has an impact, but I think it's important that each individual is treated as an individual. When you're seeking services or you're seeking a doctor, that, again, we are not cookie-cutter people. And so it's very important that your doctor does understand that you share that information so that doctor can make an informed decision when they are prescribing medications. And that's with teens as well, because sometimes some of the antipsychotic medications that may be used, you have to be very careful with the dosage. So it's just very important that you seek out a clinician that listens to what you have to say and, again, and to understand who you are and what you're dealing with.
And we've got about a minute left, but I wonder if I could have you both chime in and talk a little bit about the play you're putting on tonight. It's called Pieces in My Own Voice. Let's start with Margaret. What is the play?
Well, the play, Brenda could maybe speak to this better than I, is...
Yes, because I wrote the play. Yeah. Go ahead,
let her speak to that.
Yeah, let's go with Brenda then. Brenda, tell us about the play.
As an educator, writing the play is that I needed to figure out how could we get the community to start talking about mental health. And I truly believe that arts is the way that we can open up people's mind, hearts, to understanding just about anything in our society. So the play addresses mental illness and the stigma. So it kind of, you take a peek into the darkness of what stigma looks like, but definitely we talk about the light of recovery and what that looks like. We do address suicide, bipolar disorder, major depression, anxiety, a lot of the issues that individuals deal with, but we use the arts through music and dance and vignettes to address these issues so we can truly open up the dialogue. And after the production, we have a Q&A, which people stay, 98% of the audience stays for the Q&A because now they're ready to talk about their own struggles, the struggles of their family members, and then they're ready to receive the services that we offer again after the production.
Well, Brenda and I'm sorry, Margaret, go ahead.
We have a resource fair available so that anyone perhaps who has moved during the course of the production can access some of the resources before they leave the building.
So there'll be a play and an opportunity to move forward for people who might want to keep the conversation going and need some help.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, Brenda and Margaret, I'm so glad you could join us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
We've been speaking to Brenda Wesley. She is an education outreach coordinator for the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Greater Milwaukee, and Margaret Rohde. She's the young adult minister of Holy Family and the St. Robert Parishes in Milwaukee.